Take the stage, Lord. Have your way. I'm just a vessel and nothing more. When you're done, please take your glory. I'm satisfied just to see you glorified. When you're done, oh please take your glory. I'm satisfied just to see you glorified. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands and bless him. Madigaboros to balele mama hekeba. Via tomo ye kalu. Hendoros temanye mama heke. Gagudoga balogia maye gidego suga baya. Hadago egemaho ya baku leke abon. Vete mo, a momo, a yekinemo. Likanamos, cinnamon hilakalaya. Yellow, Columbus, Sinamo, Sanamo, 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 Sanamo. Ayagala, 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 Ayagalemano, Sanamama here. Fanyagalish, Fanyagalish, Fanyagalish. Hallelujah. One more time. Takes the stage, Lord. Oh, have your way. I'm just a vessel and nothing more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When you're done, oh, please take your glory. Satisfied just to see you glorified. When you're done, oh please take your glory. I'm satisfied just to see you glorified. You come, drop your mic, come, Pastor Shalom, come. You guys have to be ready for camp meeting. Lift up your hand. The world needs like thousands of people are going to be depending on you. Jesus, come. Lift up your hands. Jesus, the Son of God. Freshness. Dadagadash to manate first. Sisi Perez. Where is that saxophonist? Bring him up and bring him back here. Do you know that all that David does is play flute and demons leave Saul? But what kind of music minister is that? And when Elisha the prophet had to deal with certain things, he said, bring me a minstrel. What kind of person is that? He said, when the minstrel played. Now, this is spirit-filled worship. It's not carnal worship. Satep, Patef, Firas, Force. All of you, lift up your hand. Ask God for cleansing, for sanctification, for purification. The Bible said the day they dedicated the temple, all the priests were sanctified. And all of them were clothed in white remnants. All of you here, lift up your hands. Ask God, remove that dirty garment from my life. Clothe me with a new garment. Clothe me with what it takes to have effective priesthood. Clothe me with what it takes. When you're done, Please take your glory. I'm satisfied just to see. Who is that music minister? You are sitting in the congregation. You are not here. Where is that person? Come. Get up and come. Get up. Come over here. Come. Yeah, come. The lady behind first. Come first. Katolopesh. Fear. Lift up your hands. Sanctify fire. Katoras. Bring her again. That one. Come on, my dear. You. Put hands on both sides of her tummy. Nothing impure. Nothing for. Yes, sir. First. Where is that guy? Yeah, come. Shoshana. Shatter. I found the people I'm looking for. But the rest of you, ask God, sanctify me. With your presence, sanctify me. Thank you, Jesus. You are a priest, you are a king. Lift your hand. Ask God to cleanse. There is kaboto. There are layers of mantle that makes a priest. So that the ephod can come upon you. So that the breastplate can come upon you. So that the garment for the ministry can come upon you. Lift your hands. Say, Setaparus, fear. Done. Please take your glory. I'm satisfied just to see you glorified. Hallelujah. Sing a hymn, just whatever the Spirit inspires you. Yeah, go ahead. Let him lead you, follow. Yes.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Just to take him at his word.
Just to
Jesus,
the Savior, Lord
Jesus. Everybody lift up your hands. Oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, for grace to trust you more. Jesus, Jesus, I trust you more and more. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, oh, for just be playing the lyrics of that song. Get me a glass and get me a bottle of water. Fast. Two guys, one with a glass, one with the water. Can another person take the glass from Pastor Lewis? Sit down somewhere there. I'm coming to you in a few minutes. Now pour some water into that glass. Pour. Yeah, it's fine. That's the life of a Christian. Once you're giving your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you. That water is the Holy Spirit. Bible said on that great day of the feast, he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. What is the drink? The Bible explains that he said that he spake of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. For as at that time the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, he called back the same people. He preached this, but he couldn't give it to them. He had it, but he couldn't give them. Because he has not died on the cross and risen. He has not been glorified. But then, after his glorification, where he ascended to heaven, you know, brought the blood of his redemption to the mercy seat and to purchase eternal redemption for us, he came back to spend 40 days with them. The first thing he did when he met them was to breathe on them. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. That's when those people that followed him for 3.5 years got born again. That's when the Holy Spirit moved from being with them to living in them. When he was with them, he talked to them about it. He said, the Spirit of the truth, he is with you. But then it shall be in you. And that experience began. And that's when new birth has happened. Instead of evil spirits, the Holy Spirit of God living in us, producing the nature of God in us. That indwelling power of the Holy Spirit is an empowerment to live the Christian life. We're not called to live this in the arm of the flesh. That's the way the Old Testament people were. They were given God's righteous standard. They were given God's laws, but they could not obey it. Because they were fallen men. Because of the weaknesses of the flesh. God solved that problem in the New Testament by putting his spirit within man, giving human beings capacity from within now to live godly, to live like God. So that now it's not just me in the flesh. Is the Spirit of God living out Christ's life through me. The nature of the Holy Spirit, the nature of my Heavenly Father, is what you call the fruit of the Spirit. Now he makes it my nature. Love flows through me. I can now control myself. I have self-government. A Christian life is lived from inside out, not from outside in. People who have learned to live victorious have learned to surrender. Learned to rely and rest on the power of the Holy Spirit. I had struggles as a Christian until I learned the way of victory. And I found that there is no need, there is no struggle. You don't need to be struggling with sin or struggling with all kinds of things. You just live in victory. You live in it. Now he has breathed on them and they have life.
just like God breathed on Adam then and turned him into a living soul. Now he has breathed a quickening spirit into them. He told them, go to Jerusalem and tarry till the day of Pentecost, till you are clothed with power from on high. The question will be, I already have the Holy Spirit. What do I need another Holy Spirit again for? Okay, lift your glass. You see, that time he has water. But what he told them to get in Jerusalem is a different spirit. And look at what he did. Stop up. Lift your glass. You don't lift the glass up to get water. You put it in a position where he can pour. The first law of spirit-filled life is self-surrender. It starts with humility. You do under the tap what a man that wants to fetch water does. He humbles himself. He brings himself down. He abases himself. You don't get the water with what he did with his hand, which is what a lot of us do. The first law of spirit-filled life is not prayer. It's self-surrender. Then when you now add prayer out of that, then explosion happens. And in the place of surrender, we get rid of things that are not in line with God's will. Sometimes that's where repentance happens and a lot of aligning of our lives. Everybody lift up your hands. Say, Lord, I surrender myself. I surrender myself. Fill me afresh today. I wish I have time to touch some things there. One of the things you do in surrender is to let your will down and let that you submit yourself to his will. Christians that are self-willed are living like Satan. That's what is a rebellious being. Does whatever he likes. The Davidic kind of person surrenders their own will to have God's will have the upper hand. And Christians that are self-willed will keep having breaking experiences. Life will be very tough for them. If you want to enjoy your Christian life, learn a life of surrender. Say, with Lord, I surrender myself under the authority of your word. I surrender myself under the authority of the Holy Spirit. I yield myself to you as instrument of righteousness. I align myself under your will. I lay down my own will. I surrender my will to embrace your will. Have your way in my life. Rule and reign in my heart. Overthrow every idol in my heart. Overthrow anything that contradicts your will. Have your way. Surrender is what gives Jesus the right to play his role as the Lord. He is Savior, but he's also Lord. Surrender. Like a lot of women resist their husband's authority. You see people under leadership that resist leadership. What they need to be taught is surrendered life. And out of a surrendered life, submission is not a problem. You saw it at Gethsemane, where he had a struggle with going to the cross. The first thing Jesus did on the journey to the cross is self-surrender. And that's the opposite of what Adam did, because Adam went into self-will and he created rebellion in the garden. That's what the woman did. That's what the man did. That's what Satan did in heaven. Say with me, I surrender myself. Also, under the authority you have placed over me. Authority in the home. Authority in the church. I put myself under. The second law of spirit-filled life is now prayer. Actually, it's not just praying. It's learning to spend time with God. And learning to pray from the point of kingdom priority first. God's interest first, then your own interest second. I heard Pastor Victor yesterday said, when you repent, repent from the angle of what your sin has done to God. That is what you put first. That doesn't mean that when you talk for your own angle that you're wrong. You're not wrong at all. The other night, I read for you guys Leviticus chapter 26. From verse 40. He said, first of all, your uncircumcised heart is humble and you accept the punishment for it, and you recognize how you have walked contrary to me, that's the first part. How your rebellion has hurt me and damaged me. Then you also recognize how I have also walked contrary to you. You also see the consequences of that rebellion on your own life. So it's both sides covered. But God's side is first. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, come first before give me this day my daily bread or forgive me whatever. If you learn to pray in that order, kingdom priority first, you will experience a surge of the spirit-filled life. What is this prayer that is not getting people change, that is not getting people filled with the spirit? It's kind of prayer. It's all self-centered. It's all me, man-centered. When the Lord taught us how to pray in what is known as the Lord's Prayer, He gave us three things that are top priority when you go to talk to God. Number one, He said, hallowed be your name. Do you know what that means? You are praying that God's name be sanctified, God's name be glorified. What drives you as number one is to see God glorified, to see His name set aside. When you see God's name being desecrated, He's being insulted, a lot of things are happening to the church, because what happens to Israel affects God in the Old Testament. What happens to the church affects God's integrity and God's reputation. You take it as a prayer. And that number one prayer is what unleashes revival and the miraculous. What usually happens is that God will move or judge in order to set His name apart. Second thing He said we should put as priority is the kingdom. Your kingdom come. The third is let your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. When people take God's own interests first, in the course of doing that, the Holy Spirit will come and hook up with you. If you want that, I can raise one or two prayer points now, right here now. You will see the level of surge of supernatural energy that will hit people as they are praying it. Then you now ride on that to now get all your needs met. It's the same thing. You can come, because the other thing that leads to spirit-filled life is worship. But you can come in worship and sing man-centered songs and just do the things that you enjoy. Enjoy yourself and dance in the flesh. And when you finish, you say you did. And the spirit-filled experience eludes you. Okay, watch what prayer and worship does for me. Oh yeah? Start feeling. That's what He told them to go and do at the upper room. They didn't go there and just sit down and they were looking. They were praying. Yes. Continue. Pour. Do you see what is happening now? It's pouring over. That is now what the Bible means when He said, be filled. It's not just talking about receiving the Holy Spirit inside you at new birth. It's talking about being filled with the Spirit. There are many times you read it in Acts of Apostles. He said, and Paul, being full of the Holy Ghost, spoke to that man and said, oh, you full of subtlety, you know, agent of darkness. I'm paraphrasing. He's talking to by Jesus. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Most of the time, whenever a miraculous event is about to happen, the first condition the Holy Spirit will put there is this man being full of the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit. That is how to live the Christian life. Spirit-filled life is the key to victory. The flesh stops controlling you. And the secret of spirit-filled life is abiding in the vine. I'm the vine, you are the branches. But the branch that abides bears fruit. The branch that does not abide withers. What is abiding is fellowship. You can be married, but you are not abiding. People don't have time to talk, to share, to spend time with each other, and then to have sex. You start growing apart. The marriage will wither. There are people that are married to Jesus, born again, but they are not abiding in the vine. They don't spend time with Him. They don't have time for devotion, to be with the Lord. Because when you do that, what happens to couples in the closet will happen between you and Him. When couples do their business ejaculation, leads to conception. When you and God do your business, when God ejaculates, is a release of what he ejaculates is not sperm, is the spirit. Moses wished not that even his face was now shining. Why he talked with God is why you talk with him, your countenance is transformed. It starts from inside. Your spirit man is soaked, is energized, is fertilized by his spirit. Then he gets to a point, it even quickens even your physical body. And the Bible said, the spirit of God quickens your mortal body. All of these weaknesses, weakness in prayer, weakness to read the word, weakness to live the Christian life is because of the powerlessness of today's church. And the powerlessness is because of not learning how to abide. The abiding life has vanished again from today's church. We get up, we rush out for all kinds of activities. We don't have time to spend with the most important person on earth. So you see why Moses talked with him. That's what I wanted to show them. His face shone why he talked with God. That's what prayer does. Why you talk with him. Why you commune with him. Your inward man starts soaking. You know when you put foam in water, what the foam does is soaks up that water. Yeah, that's your inward man soaks up God's substance. He soaks it to the point. You know, it wasn't only Moses that it happened to. It's happened to me a number of times. At times, I'll be in devotion. Smoke is coming out of the door. My neighbors will run, banging on my door, saying there is fire in your room. They think maybe my room has caught fire. And one time they banged. I opened the door and came out. Everybody started running. I said, why are you people running? Because I didn't know what was happening with me. He said, smoke is coming out of your room. And then it's coming out of you too. What is it that is happening there? One person said to me, he wondered what pastor was smoking inside. He said, but when I opened the door, that the aura was not like Igbo or cigar or burning fire. The aura was divine. And a lady that had been bleeding for 2 years, we didn't pray for her. That thing just hit her, and that was where the thing ended. This is what causes healing. This is what causes deliverance. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And he explained what that finger of God is. He said, if I cast out devil by the spirit of God, it is this superior power that drives out evil spirits, that drives out the wicked spirits from people. It is also this that will keep you sane. That will keep you victorious. Paul again. That's what I do. I always visit the filling station daily and top up my fuel. And it's always, that overflowing thing is what I use to help people. If my tank runs, that I have been too busy and it runs, and you need my help, I won't minister to you. I'll talk to you, give you the word, I won't minister to you. You're not supposed to minister to people out of your own reserve. That reserve is for living the Christian life. When you drain that reserve, that's when you start falling into all kinds of mess like unbelievers. That's when you don't have power of self-control. Power of self-control is a fruit of the spirit that comes from the inner strength. That's when you lose your ability to love. You become resentful, bitter, and every little thing hurts you. That's when you lose the peace of God. It's a serenity a believer has. It doesn't matter what is happening in society. There's inner calm. There is a control. That's when you lose all of this. Those things that make God, you also lose your faith. I'm not talking about your faith in Jesus being born again. I mean, you lose the faith of God that works in your soul. That's when you start fearing. You start being afraid. That's when you start being stingy, because that nature is generous, is gracious, just like our Father. What happened is that your engine has lost its viscosity because the oil has been working for a long time. There has not been renewal of oil, and it can lead to engine knock. Top again. That's what I do all the time. I keep myself in this state. Now, there's a difference between me and me. Before, that me I'm talking about is born again me. When I come to church, you have to sing and sing 20 songs before I can get touched by the anointing. Now, as you are just one spirit, I'm running over because I'm full before I came to church. Sometimes I get it, you are singing in the flesh. I shut you down because you are just disturbing me. I'm already coming from there. I don't need your little entertainment too. I'm full before coming. One song, worship in a service, I'll be running over. I'll be dripping with oil. I come prayed up. So I'm not waiting for until you are prayed for 5 hours or 2 hours before I connect in the spirit. I come prayed up. My cup comes because of personal devotion. Because of personal devotion. Because of abiding in the vine. Because of abiding in the vine. Let me give you an example. We've been here for 3 days now. Every morning, the only morning I did not do it is today. I wake up very early. I go exercise for an hour and I pray for at least an hour, do my devotion before I get here. And, you know, and I'm talking about long before, you know, I finish, get back, sit down in my house, relax for my sweat to dry and relax. Then I take my, because if I take my bath immediately, it will soak the dress I'm wearing. And then I take my bath and start coming out. The truth is, this morning what I did not do is the exercise part. Once it was 5, I was up. I'm not the vine. My life flows from the vine. So I cannot operate independently. I will dry up, I will die. I have to be in touch with the vine. That's from where life flows to me. Jesus is the vine. You and I are the branches. Fellowship is how we enjoy our Christian life with Him, our walk with Him. Fellowship. Then, out of that, ministry and other things we need to do in the day can begin. That's why you have no ministry till you have a prayer life. That's why you have no ministry till you have a devotional life. All the other things you are doing is just until today you cut the car parks. When you dwell in the spirit, when you walk in the spirit, you can tell there is a big difference between that life and the life of the flesh. That Christian that is always defeated is one that walks in the flesh. And now listen to me and listen very well. Spirit life is connection with Jesus, and the life, that supernatural life we're called to, the fleshly life is one that connects people to demons. What the devil does is now to add his own anointing to the flesh and he creates bondage. There is actually the works of the flesh. Somebody can lust without necessarily having a demon. Somebody can be envious without having a demon. But what the devil does is that he now, once he sees any of those is whatever, and you open a door, he comes and adds, just like the Holy Spirit fills you, the energy of evil, of the unseen world, the dark world, now fills the person. That's how demons enter people. And then that thing becomes a bondage. It becomes a habitual problem. It becomes an obsession. You are not able to stop. You just keep going through this cycle of up and down. Why God reaches you through your spirit, the demonic world reaches you through the flesh. And the flesh is not just the body, the weaknesses of the body, but of the soul. Some of them are bitterness problems, some of them are malice problems, some of them are envy, some of them are lust, some of them are greed. They open a human being up for invasion of evil spirits. That's why when you want deliverance, you start with repentance, not with rebuking the devil. So you see, out of that spirit-filled life, there are a series of other activities that follow. And those activities is what the Bible calls walking in the spirit. There is a difference between being filled with the spirit and walking in the spirit. He said if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And some of these activities involve walking in the spirit. For example, one of them, let me mention one or two. One of them is following the leading of the Holy Ghost. being led by the Spirit is the effect, first result of being filled with the Spirit. When you are not maintaining a spirit-filled life, don't believe those things you are hearing. Your emotion is playing tricks on you. Your mind is telling you lies. Your flesh can deceive you, and you say it's God. Know the difference between the man of the flesh and the man of the spirit in your own life. Know when you are spirit-filled, so you can know when you are spirit-led. Know when you are in the flesh, so you can know when the flesh is leading you. I know when I'm drained. Sometimes out of a lot of business and order, I'm drained. I know. For example, my body knows, he gives me a sign when he's about to break down. I've been overworking and I have not had time, maybe rest or whatever exercise. It gives me warnings. And if I don't do something to balance back, next time you break down. I hardly fall sick. But at least one or two times I've had the experience and I know how I got there. Overpush the body, you break down. Overpush the spirit, it breaks down. So I also know when I'm drained in the spirit. Because the work we do, Bible says virtues left in virtue. It's virtue, it's life that is flowing out of us. It needs to be constantly refueled. I'm not just talking to you like a professor, like this morning. I'm releasing life. We're backing the words I'm speaking as a spirit. These are words that are clothed by the Spirit of God. It's like taking pounded yam and dipping it in soup. This is like taking words and dipping it in the Holy Ghost. And it's not just external. The words themselves are capsules. Akatopo, Sure, Steph, Shinin, and Ekied. Oh, God is Tobiah. You know, when they want to give you injection or give you oral treatment, they give you these capsules. They might be sweet outside, but inside they have that thing that will kill you. Yeah, these are words, are vehicle. What fuels them is what matters. Words can be used to communicate evil spirits. Words can be used to communicate life. There are words that heal and there are words that wound. There are words that quicken and give strength. There are words that weaken. So, when you minister from that place, you minister life. You don't just reach people at intellectual level, you reach the human spirit. And that's how New Testament ministry must be. It's a ministration of the spirit that quickens, that transforms, that saves, that delivers, that frees. Not the ministration of letter. Just getting people educated in church. And they are powerless to live what you have taught them. So, one of the, you see, there are two sides to Christian life. You have to get this, you know, first of all, the three, if I want to start from the beginning, is that the cross must do its work, you get saved. Then, to live the Christian life, there are two sides. The first is learning what it means to be spirit-filled. Then, beyond that, is learning to walk in the spirit. The first thing about walking in the learning to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Bible said if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. You don't need that thing Moses wrote on table to control you, because that thing now functions from inside you. Your control is from inside, because the Holy Spirit will never permit you to kill. He will never permit you to go and commit adultery. He will never permit you to go and lust. Where is all these sins coming from? From carnal life. For walking in the flesh. And then the people become prey to demons. Evil spirit now take over. Because the saints open doors. And they come in. The Christian life, I mean the living of the Christian, have two sides. There is the spirit filled part and there is spirit walk. The spirit walk, the second element of spirit walk is obeying God. Obeying his word. Not just the one the Holy Spirit gives you by guidance, but the one that is written in his word. There is power to do it. Okay, Lord, I will show it to them. Let me stand here and do it. There is a difference between the man in the Old Testament and the man in the New Testament. The man in the New Testament who walks in the Spirit, apart from the fact that he has the laws of God written in his heart, he has the power to live it. The man in the Old Testament has the law written on tables of stone. He's a stunner, but he doesn't have the power to live it. In the Old Testament, he's like a car you push from outside because the engine is not working. In the New Testament, the car doesn't need pushing. It's powered from inside because he has engine that works. His spirit empowered to live the same standard. The standard has not changed. God's laws have not changed. But the method of getting men to live godly is what God has changed. The Old Testament method did not work because the law was external, but the man himself is a slave of sin. He is a fallen man. When he reads that law, he hears it preached, he wants to do what God wants. But inside him there is weakness. He finds another law that makes him a slave of the flesh, that makes him disobedient. Every time he is repenting. But in the New Testament, this man hears the word of God. He wants to do it. But inside him, there is a new capacity to do it. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. He said, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The deceiving prophets and pastors only stop there. They tell people there is no condemnation. No, there is condemnation if you walk in the flesh. So when he said there is no condemnation, he explained the kind of people who don't have. I live in it. I know what they're talking about. That's how I'm living. That's how I live. I've lived the other one, being born again, living in defeat. I know the difference. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And he explains who they are. Those who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Those who are not walking in the flesh. Believers that are walking in the flesh also face condemnation. They will even go to hell if they die in that state. When Paul listed the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, from verse 19, this is the last statement he made as he finished listening. He said, I warn you. He didn't say I'm suggesting to you. He said it's a warning. I warn you. I thought he would show it. I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he's writing to Christian, Galatian church. He says it's a warning. People that walk in the flesh will end up with unbelievers in the same place. Because you are doing the same thing they are doing. You have not discovered how to live a Christian life. I'm sent here this morning to help you. I'm sent with a word from heaven to help you. This is not meant to be a struggle. It's not up and down. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. If I don't have know it by experience, I will be lying. I have known that up and down until the truth reach me. It's not an up and down life. Today you lie, tomorrow you whatever. No, 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 no. You live in righteousness and you just keep going. You live like Jesus on earth. Has the flesh gone? No. But what happens? The power of the Spirit keeps it in check and keeps you living above it. So, Spirit-filled life is where it starts. A surrendered life. And whenever something has gone wrong, in the course of surrender, bring repentance. If you don't bring repentance, the rest will not happen. Holy Spirit will not feel you. You can sing, nothing will happen. You can pray, other people can get blessed, but you will live empty. Then prayer life, devotional life, and word life. Feeding yourself with the word. This is how you maintain a spirit-filled life. But spirit walk, you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, then you obey God's written word. A Christian life is a life of obedience. Spirit walk, third is walking by faith. You don't follow your senses, what you see or whatever. If God tells me to give a particular amount, I don't check what I have in my account. Because it's a supernatural life. He tells me to lay hands on this girl. I don't start. My natural senses will come on. Say, no, how do you know she will be healed? No, I just act on what God said and the result shows. Then number four is walking in love. Now you are walking in the Spirit. And five is walking in righteousness, in godliness. But you see now, you can jump to trying to do all these things without the first part. That's when you are trying to do it like the Old Testament man, so you struggle all through. But you start by filling yourself with God's life, with supernatural energy of God, then it's not a struggle to walk in love. The love of God generally is shed abroad in your heart when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. New fresh infilling of the Spirit brings fresh baptism of love. You see what happens with obedience? Obedience, submission becomes easy when you're spirit filled. Okay, let me show you an example. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Just watch now about the subject of submission. Just see what happens to submission. See how to walk in submission now. Do not get drunk with wine, which is wickedness or corruption or stupidity. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, constantly guided by Him. And part of the way you do it is by speaking to yourself in psalm. Go follow me now in the next one. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual song, singing and making melody. Worship is part of the way you do it. Prayer is the other way. Then, of course, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So thanksgiving is part of the way you maintain a spirit-filled life. Watch now. Watch the next statement. Show it to them. Do you see? Submitting yourself. Obedience is no more a struggle. Submission is not a struggle if you do the first part. You are struggling with submitting to your husband. You are struggling with obeying your past or submitting to. The issue is that you are living a carnal Christian life. You have been too much in the flesh. You are self-driven. That's your problem. You are drained of life. Spirit-filled life makes. The thing is not a heart. It's not an issue anymore. Submission is actually protection. Part of what the Holy Spirit supplies you from inside when He fills you is self-control. So you don't need external means to make you do what is right. You just do it. Part of what He fuels you, He puts in you when He fuels you, is the fear of God. Have you read about the seven spirits of God? One of those candles, one of those, is the spirit of the fear of God that makes you of quick understanding in the fear of God. That makes you right to know what is right and what is wrong. Carnal Christian makes you despise God's word, despise, you play around with sin. The early church and old Pentecostals and even the reformers in the days of evangelical movement, they knew what spirit-powered life is all about. Because these were men of prayer. These were men of holiness. These were men of conviction. The Lord said, when I get here, I shall put in your hand tools of victory. Tools of victory. And send you away with that. Where is the man that hosted the program? Come. Somebody stand behind him. When you're done, please take your glory. You need to know what I know. You need to come up to that level. It will change your own personal life, your marriage, your Christian work. It will change your ministry and make you a city set on a hill. You see that struggle in the flesh, pastor in the flesh, teach in the flesh, preach in the flesh, is not going to get you anywhere. And that's where many pastors here. Lift up your hands, every one of you. Ask God for revelation of spirit-filled life and revelation of spirit-filled work. Padegabalu suvi fababayaka. Patulu to fetelema shiege. Palia zubi.
break the veil for this man. Bring him into third dimension of ministry, the ministry from the holiest of holies. Break the barrier down. Pull him out of the flesh and give him access into spirit, feel life and victorious Christian life. Change him as a man like you changed Jacob. Change him from a self-seeking, a self-driven man to a man that would do anything to do your will. And then Maria, Elisu, give him a new baptism and bring him into the adoption of sons. Thrasa, bring him into adoption of sons. And you will have somebody you can rely on, Lord. When you're done, hey, come, yes. Lift your hands, cattle. Take deliverance as your calling and ministry. I know Pastor Victor said there is no ministry there. There is. Just like there is healing ministry. You've seen Benihin, but he's weak in deliverance. That Benihin, you see. Sometimes he even. But deliverance will be strong in you because you will be rooted in intercession. The ministry of intercession will give you the impetus to deal with any demon. And holiness, be kata, be a house cleaner in the house of God. A cleaning out, sweeping out iniquity and sin. Don't just tackle with demons, tackle with the root cause, which is sin. And you'll be S. Live a surrendered life. Always put self aside. It's not me. Leave self behind. And so he can be him. Lift him up again. Apaturusa. Paturusa. Imate. Everybody. Ask God for a revelation of spirit-filled work. That's where the victory is. It's not just coming to have deliverance, demons cast out of you, and the house remains unfilled. That house needs to be occupied by the third person of the Trinity. That house needs to be filled by the strong man of the kingdom of God. His name is the Holy Ghost. Hey, bring Elonwa back. Yes, the Lord said, lift, stand behind, lift up your hands. Certain gifts of the Spirit that will start functioning in you from today, this morning. And the eyes of this, persevere, fierce. I serve, Lord. Wipe out the dross and open up those ears and those eyes. I pastor by revelation. I pastor supernaturally. I don't pastor in the flesh. Lift up your hands. Lord, if anyone tests, that's what Jesus said. If anyone tests, hunger is the starting point. If anyone tests, let him come unto me and drink. If anyone tests. Drop the water. Two of you, come. Drop it. Lift your hands. Thank Addis. When you're done, please take your glory. Satisfy just. When you are done, please take your glory. I'm satisfied just to see you glorified. You may be seated. I'm asked to give you four tools. I've delivered one. Can I still complete it? I don't know. But let me give you another one. If that's where I will release you, I'll do that.
Maybe I can avoid explaining too much this one so I can do a thought. See, here is a secret of victory. Here is a secret of keeping the devil where he belongs. After your salvation, when the Holy Ghost came upon you, he gave you two ministries. Can I get two guys again? Two ministries. Two guys, yeah? Is anybody with white? Can I get that man on white? When you're done, please take... Okay, sit down. Come, come. You are king. This is a priest. Now, these are the two offices God gave you. The anointing did not come upon you for joke. He came upon you for ministry. And there are two ministries every believer has received. Now, a priest can be born a priest, but he doesn't start functioning without consecration and anointing. He is consecrated by sanctification. He is washed with water, clothed with garments, and anointed. Then he starts functioning. Now, when you are born again, you are born a priest. You are also born a king. You are born of royalty. But you don't function in any of those offices without being anointed. So that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit came to do. I'm not talking about the spirit within. You don't do ministry with the spirit within. You live the Christian life with the power within. You do ministry with the anointing upon. The overflow is for ministry. The inward drink is for your own personal edification, for your own Christian. That's the power. That one, when it drains, you are weak in your Christian life. That's when sin comes in. So, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit to be enabled to function in this. I don't have the time to talk about levels of anointing, but because even after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's still higher levels in this, especially when we talk about functioning in the kingly anointing, which is what makes the office of the king effective. Well, don't worry about that. You got filled with the Holy Spirit, so you were inaugurated into these offices. Here is the secret of victory. Your priestly office that functions from the altar, the greatest altar from which you should learn to function, should be Calvary. The other should be the throne room, the mercy seat. I need to say it again. The two most important altars, there are seven levels of altar. Let's leave that alone. The two most important altars from where you function as a priest, one is Calvary, the cross. The other is the throne room, the mercy seat, where Jesus is seated by the right hand of God as your high priest. This priesthood office enables you to deal with sin, to deal with all of the things that give the devil access. You see, the priestly ministry deals with repentance and atonement. It deals with blood. It deals with renunciations. It deals with curses. It deals with foundation. It deals with all sorts of things. The priestly ministry deals with worship. It deals with intercession. It deals with sacrifices. It deals with giving. Make sure as a priest, you've learned how to honor God through your giving. There is nothing like a priest that does not burn incense. There is nothing like a priest that does not offer gifts. There is nothing like a priest that does not offer sacrifice. It doesn't exist. It does not exist. As a pastor, be a tither before you start telling other people. As a minister, be a giver before you tell other people to give. If you want your priesthood to be fruitful, as a priest, God can... Okay, he says focus on victory. So let me stay with my mandate this morning. Then, your kingly office is where the authority of the believer resides. Your kingly office is where your dominion resides. Your kingly office can do so many other things. But I don't want to get into the natural expressions of it, like societal transformation, social impact. You can get involved in governance and all that. Let's leave that part first. Let's deal with the spiritual, because you are made a king and a priest unto our God. If you've shown them that, like Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, 10, 11, 9, 10, he redeemed us, then he made us kings and priests. Even Revelation chapter 1. Okay, he goes, Revelation chapter 1 also talks about that. Here is the secret of victory. Many years ago, when I came to faith, I studied the works of Kenneth Hagin, Authority of the Believer and Faith, and all of those wonderful things. And I learned about this side. So we use authority, we rebuke the devil, and we could deal with him. But as years went on, there are personal issues that will come up. For example, you have financial issue, you rebuke the devil over your finances and you get result. But when personal issues that have to do with victory in my personal life or whatever, I found it hard to handle it, because use authority. It is the priestly ministry that deals with sin. But then it is the kingly ministry that now binds and rebukes the devil. Hello. Everyone lift up your hand. Say, Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus to leave. I break your power over my life, over my family, over my marriage, over my finances. Stop your works and maneuver in Jesus' name. What have you exercised your kingly ministry? But here is only one problem with what you have just done. If there is no sin, there is no open door for Satan, what you've done works all the time. But when sin is present, personal, generational, and you are giving the devil order, you are playing. The kingly office rests on the priestly office. How do I make this illustration for them, Lord? Okay. Just watch what I'm about to do now. God's throne sits on top of an altar. There are three altars in the tabernacle of Moses. The altar court has an altar where you burn sacrifices. That's Calvary. That altar is always without. The holy place has an altar where you burn incense. That's prayer, worship. The last and most powerful altar is mercy seat. That's where you take blood that came from the altar court, apply it on the four horns, sprinkle it there, and then you can obtain salvation. But do you know it is on top of that blood that God sits? It's on top of that mercy seat that he sits. That thing you call mercy seat doubles as his throne. So God rules from an altar. Dominion proceeds from an altar. See what that means in simple terms. The priestly ministry is the foundation. The kingly ministry now functions from it. That's why in your village, the high priest is stronger than the traditional ruler. And when they want to ordain an Oba of Benin, or an Onion of Ife, or a strong traditional ruler, it is not coming there and putting crown on his head and pouring oil that makes him a king. They have to take him to the priest, to altars, to do the things that give him impetus, spiritual authority, to give him a standing from where he cannot. If not, somebody can, they are doing traditional ceremony or whatever, and the king is seated. Somebody can just pass, fair king, Aju, order. What is the interpretation of that? I just spoke tongues. I spoke in tongues. The interpretation of the tongue, a strong man that has charm can just release enchantment on the king, and your king can fall. There are different levels of people here. What it means is that a Christian that takes care of his priestly ministry, his prayer life, his worship life, and then the issue of learning to do atonement for yourself, not allowing sin to have dominion in you, to clean, learning to cleanse, learning to repent, learning to clean up that place, his authority of the believer, which is given, will have the highest influence on the earth. When he speaks, it's like Jesus has spoken. When he binds, the power of God's throne backs up his words. But when he has compromised this area, he weakens this one. So there are people throwing around authority that are in captivity. So that's why for deliverance, you don't start with binding. Leave the devil alone. Start with sorting out sin. When you humble yourself and repent and renounce all those things that created the open door for the devil and all the covenants and all the linkages and marriages with Satan and finish with all of that part. Get up now and now bind those things. You don't need to have somebody now coming to help you. You can rebuke that snake that is crawling in your neck to live, in your waist to live. You can rebuke that thing that is moving up and down in your body to live. You can rebuke that sickness that has overstayed to now live. You can break the power of the devil over your finance. You can break his power over your marriage. You can break his power over your children. You can break his power over the church. And then it shall be done. I said I'm not going to do much explanation. Okay, only 20 minutes to the end of this service. You want us to serve in this community? At least let me give you one more now, Lord. Let me give you one more. I wish I have time to show in practical terms how this works. These two offices interfaces with each other. In the Old Testament, they were separate. The king is separate. The priest is separate. God has given the believer the two offices. So when you finish atonement, taking care of repentance and all that, you have not completed the work. Now do what the Bible said. He said, whosoever that will spoil a strong man must first, what? Bind him. Use the authority you are given. Use the we need to revisit that subject. In this conference we visited the cross that gave us the impetus to function as priests. We need to revisit authority. Maybe next deliverance or some other. Whatever. Those two combined puts the devil in complete disarray. Lift up your hand. Say, Lord, give me revelation of what this man has just explained now. How to operate from these two offices from now. How to use these two offices. If something happens in your family and sin has entered, maybe it's the children, bring them first and go through atonement and reconciliation and all of that first. After that, break the power of the devil over those kids and he will leave them alone. We can reconcile everything back to God by utilization of these two offices. When you go to minister to people, start as a priest and end up as a king. Use your priestly office. Like, that's why, for example, in a crusade, you lead them to Christ. You get them to repent of their sin. Ask for the blood of Jesus to wash them. You are functioning as a priest. But when they finish that, you have a right now to say, Satan, I command you to take your hand off these people. I break your power over their lives. In the name of Jesus, you can command the ones that are in weak, bound by sickness to be freed. The ones that are tormented to be set free. Once the priesthood have done his work, the office of the king will have maximum impact and effect. Demons cannot stand. Oh, Lord. Okay. I have a little release. I can do the third one and I'll end. Before I do it, God bless you, gentlemen. Is the 5 D's of deliverance, the 5 D's of Satan. I need 5 guys. Everything I'm giving you is tools of victory. I need 5 guys. I just allowed the ones I've been standing to sit. I just wanted you to relax more. So if you want to write, you know, the 5th guy. Okay, because I said right now, they want to stay. Before I explain this, let me just say something. There is something called prophetic connection. In Philippians chapter 1, please show it to them. From verse 1. The reason I just want to, I don't have the time to show you scriptures on this because this New Testament, and New Testament would solve it for you. In Matthew chapter 10, you see Jesus saying, the people that bring the gospel, you should take care of them, honor them. And he told them, when you get to a house, look for a man of peace, any house that will take care of you. He said, release your peace upon them. If the man of peace is in that house, your peace will rest upon them. If the house does not have a man of peace, when you leave, your peace will lift. There is a reason why people sit in meetings, get all kinds of blessing and honor, and later it gets aborted. It lifts. Because ministry is giving and receiving. When the people are blessed with spiritual things, you have a responsibility to bless them back with material. A lot of people don't know this. You see the way Pastor Vito has come by someone, forget even about me because I'm, you know, and they finish ministry depositing. And we just stay by and say, oh my God, bless you, sir. You are such a nice man. And he goes. Half of those things were bought after a period. He said, you should always release your peace. Freely you receive, freely give. Don't charge. But not everybody will get it. It is now depends on their own end of the response. For example, salvation is free, but many people will go to hell. Why? It's the response to what Christ has already done. It's a free offer. But the response for human beings is what decides other people's fate. So he said, from verse 40, that Matthew 10, anybody takes care of a prophet, gets a prophet reward. Takes care of a righteous man, gets a righteous man's reward. Takes care of even anybody just because he's my disciple. He said, even if it's a cup of water you give him, he will never lose his reward. He's talking to us about response to people that have been a blessing to you. How to seal it. You see, pregnancy is not just from sperm. Just because I release sperm doesn't mean you will get pregnant. It's something you have to release, is egg. And when the two meet, fertilization occurs. So it's not just because somebody has released impartation that means. If not, there will be so many Benihins on earth. So many, bunkers. Why is it that with all these holy fire conferences it does every year when it comes in Africa? How many bunkers have you seen? But when he came to my city, the first time he came, I went like other ministers. He brought books. We scattered the book. Ministers fought. He even brought some clothes and some. Then he brought some money to help some ministers. Everybody. After 7 years after he returned, by that time I have grown. I have learned what the secret is. I warned our pastors, if anybody takes me from Rehabonke's ministry, I will kill you. I said, close the church account. Let's go and help him. He said, when somebody brings the gospel, you help him to take it to another place. I said to them, this money he spent, some people sacrifice in U.S. and some other place. Kenny Copeland gave him $1 million. Each time he goes, he gives him $1 million. Each of his crusades costs a minimum of $1 million, not naira. He does a minimum of 12 in a year. I said, if I hear anybody that takes anything, leave Enugu pastors. Let's see who will be filling the stadium and Opera Square. Sure, we are all here struggling. Watch now, you will see the difference. I will be set apart from the rest of these pastors fighting over suit and books. So we closed down our account and went and gave it to Rehabok. And the man was shocked. He said, where are you from? I said, from here, I pastor here. He said, you are a Nigerian. He said, you are a different Nigerian. You are different. Your people are not like this. They just want to get. They believe that we who come from abroad. He said, kneel down and he bless me. Then I told all our technical team to shut down for 1 week. They went and worked with his technical team because they start setting a minimum of 7 days, sometimes 2 weeks before the crusade. why intercessory ministry is going on for 40 days. So I said, as you work with the team, setting up this high level, you know how to set up equipment for crusade, because we're going to deal with stadiums and all that. You start learning the secret. As you go to join his prayer team to pray, you see how to pray down a city. I said the secret is not during the crusade. Receive it, all those fire. Well, you know he does. That's not where the secret is, behind the scene. Let's go and help him. And the blessing will now rest upon us. Let's become the man of peace in the city. Clap, oh, clap, clap. You see, this kind of conference is ending now. You can live with deliverance, but some other people will live with authority and dominion over demons everywhere. I'm not just saying you don't understand. Shea is that man that has conquered over 50 countries. You hear him talking about China, talking about Singapore, talking about all that. When will he be you? That's the question. When will you stop being in the prayer line and join the power line that help others? Here is the secret. Philippians chapter 1. Oh Lord, and I have not gone to this. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints that are in Christ Jesus, who are where? In Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. So he's talking to pastors, he's talking to deacons, he's also talking to all the believers in the church. Go on. Grace to you, peace from our God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. There are people that when you pray for, is with joy. Because they are the people that are helping you make the job work. There are people, the other people, when they bring their, you just pray general and leave them. There are two places a Christian must place himself. In the heart of your high priest, Jesus. Put yourself here in his heart. And in the heart of the man that covers you. Don't call people father or mentor or pastor in mouth. A priest carries 12 stones on his breastplate. What is written there? The names of the tribe of Israel. Your pastor, your Lord that saved you, Jesus, should carry you in his heart. Put yourself in the heart of your pastor. You do it with honor, whether you understand it or not. And as children, that's where you put yourself in the heart of your parents. Then you get parental blessing that establishes your future. Next verse. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Jesus Christ from the time you first heard it till now. You see, when people receive the gospel, they should now help the people that brought them the gospel to keep spreading it. You don't just receive it and end there. You don't care. If you are the only one that needs the help. I don't care who is confusing you about giving. You will keep struggling until you learn it. If they truly care, let them go on social media and crusade against witches, crusade against Oboni, crusade against militant Islam. It's against the church that they have strength to crusade against. Let them crusade against these entertainers corrupting our youths. Let them crusade against pornography. It's against God and his anointed. One went on social media to throw challenge to Christian fathers in Nigeria. Elijah threw challenge to witches and wizards, prophets of Baal. You're throwing challenge to men of God. Do you know that at that time Elijah got up and threw the challenge? There were 7,000 prophets that were in hiding. To keep themselves from being killed by Jezebel and Ahab, they went into hiding. They were hiding in cave. Elijah was not insulting them. Cowards, you're men of God, you are in hiding. No. He stood up and fought for all of them. That's what David did when the army of Israel was in hiding. Because Saul's leadership weakened everything. David didn't come insulting the army of God. He didn't come insulting Saul. He stepped off and fought for all Israel. And then what he demonstrated caused courage to come upon the other ones. That's what we are trying to do. Show the right way to do it so that other pastors can correct their ways, wayward ones can repent, and other, and show them the path of life. Not to start insulting others. You are an agent of Satan. And those wrong things are the ones that are easier to follow. If you're a Christian and walk in the flesh, it's easy. Because rebellion is easy. It came with the fall of man. Let somebody come now. If I go now, start teaching all children to do the same thing to their parents, and you see the same person will fight. Because they probably have kids in their house. But you want to come to the house of God and teach God's people. Anytime you see such things, it's the marine kingdom. Usually these ministers have fallen into immorality, lost their spiritual discernment, and that's how Satan uses them to do this. And whosoever that you see that is doing that, they are deep in immorality and they are deep in deception. Immorality paves way for deception. Let me say it again. Immorality paves way for deception. And the man doesn't know because he's not a slave. Immorality paves way for deception. Immorality paves way for deception. Is marine that is driving that thing you see. Are there some corruption in the priesthood? Yes. That one is different. I can never defend those. I have infiltrated the priesthood of the church and are leading astray many. They are numb and there are many. And God Almighty, because a major move of God is coming to this country and to this continent, is going to slay a lot of this nonsense. Last year they told me alone how many of them that have died. This one's going to native doctor. Three of them cases they brought to, they have run mad. You think God is a fool? But let's get back to the Bible. He said, the reason, verse 5, is because you've been my partners in the spreading of the good news from the very first day. You know, you received the gospel till now. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he that said a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So such partnership or support for the kingdom or giving to the work of God should continue till the day Jesus comes. The work is not finished yet. The Great Commission is not finished. There are millions of people still lost out there. Anyway, it will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. The work starts as salvation in you, but there is a job of bringing you to maturity and perfection. And it will continue till rapture. Verse 7. I want to see if I can get to verse 9. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. That's what I was telling you. Your pastor should carry you in his heart. Inasmuch as both in my chains, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with my grace. That's New King James. Old King James, you are all partakers of my grace. Say it with me. We are all partakers of his grace. Uh-huh. Paul said, the same anointing on me comes on you when you join me. His partnership is financial. It's not. Three ways you do that. You pray for your ministers. You give to support them. Do I look to you like somebody who is hungry that is looking for anything? I'm teaching you biblical, whatever that will help you. Go to chapter 4. He did a lot of teachings on this to this Philippian church. Go to chapter 4. Start from verse 15. Time is up. Now you Philippians also know that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning what? Giving and what? I'm trying to make sure you understand what he's talking about when he says partnership. Verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. What type of giving is this? Giving to the work of God? No. Giving to the man of God. There's three types of giving. There's giving to God to help finance his work. There is giving to the prophet. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 10. Whosoever honors a prophet will get a prophet. Giving to the prophet to help him. And then there is a third, which is giving to the poor. We are not discussing charity here. Neither are we discussing tithing and all the other things you do to help build building project or finance the work of God. We are discussing honor to a man of God or prophet honor. Is biblical. It's taught by Jesus. It's being taught by his apostles. And verse 16. Even in Thessalonica, you did all this. Put verse 17 alone. I want them to read it for me. Only verse 17. This is what Paul said here. Okay, everybody read with me. One to go. Not because I desire a gift, but because I desire fruit that may what? Abound to your account. Give me another translation. It's self-evident what it is. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. Another translation. Amplified or something. Okay, read with me. One to go. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I do seek profit which increases to your heavenly account the blessing which is accumulating for you. Clap, clap, clap. I love Pastor David. The man is anointed. He is so humble. He's such a nice guy. He's so worded. Well, Pastor David, why are you spoiling the show talking about money now? Did I ask you to give me? Did you see me raising fund now? You think I'm going to raise any fund? No. Can two of you leave so that I need you guys. I need you here. You to stay. Okay, sit down for now. Sit down. Let these three stay. Give gap. He said, when I made man, I used three components, three processes to make him. Here, I took man, molded him from the soil. That's the making of the man. He took soil and made that man. Then after, he breathed upon him the breath of life. That's where the Holy Ghost came. And he became a living soul. All that making was still dead without the empowerment, the breath of life. Did you hear what I just said? And he said, that's the same process that Jesus followed. Jesus trained his disciples for 3.5 years. The making of people is the training, the education, the human capital development. He did 3.5 years of human capital development, trained these people, left them. But when he went to the cross, they started backsliding. One betrayed him, Peter. The devil could still mess them up. By the time he died, all of them backslid. Peter told the others, I'm going back to fishing. And they all followed him and everybody returned back to there. Don't worry. Then he rose from the dead. He asked Mary Magdalene to summon them. And when he appeared to them, he now did what the Father did when he created man. He breathed on them the breath of life. He said, receive the Holy Ghost. Nobody among his disciples backslid. Nobody ever went to hell among them again. Because life came inside them. He said, everybody listening to me, then the third thing the Father did is now verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1. He now blessed that same man he has anointed. He said, and the Lord blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and have dominion. And if you go to the book of Luke, you can also see it in John, but show it to them. Jesus now took them to Bethany. He climbed Mount Olivet. And then he lifted his hands and blessed them. And as he was blessing them, he was lifted up and he ascended into heaven. He led them out as far as to Bethany and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven. Why did he follow the same pattern God followed at the beginning? Why did he follow training first, anointing second, blessing thought? If training is enough, why did he tell them, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high? Sure, you have received all kinds of training here now. When you look at me, is it just knowledge that makes me? There is something that knowledge does. There is something that the anointing does. And there is something that the blessing does. The blessing is what now guarantees dominion, that you will succeed and excel. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? There is a part for training for knowledge. There is a part for the anointing and impartation. And there is a part for the blessing. Now here is the point. 2/3 of what man needs is impartational. Only 1/3 is instructional. The Lord said, I should give you tools of victory today. If carrying certificate is the best, why do you have professors that are hungry? A caught one stealing yam. Let me leave the details. And when they were beating him, he said, please forgive me his hunger. He went to somebody's farm and was uprooting yam. And they had wounded him. And the elders came and told the youth, leave him. This is a professor. Bible said the battle is not to the swift. The race is not to the strong. You know, I wish it's... There are pastors that make the mistake. They won't give people knowledge. They won't train them. They just think only anointing would do it. You're wasting your time. Education, training, capital, human capital development, human formation first. Impartation of the anointing second. So there will be power, engine to enter that vehicle. So the vehicle is not being pushed from behind, from outside. Then the third is the blessing. Let me also say to those raising children, the same thing. Give your children good education. Give them very good moral upbringing. After that, make sure they are introduced to the Holy Spirit, that they have that thing, anointing of God and the blessing of God coming upon them. And then beyond all of that, the last thing they need before they are released from home is parental blessing. But if you are to bless and they will get it, teach them how to honor their parents. Then the blessing will rest. If it's just talking, Isaac would not have told Esau and Jacob, go and bring me venison. Bring me venison that my soul loved, that my soul may bless you. I want you to be bigger than me. I want you to go where I have not been able to go. He said, the works I do, you shall do, and greater works than this. Honor, honor, honor. Knowledge is not enough. Yet knowledge is important. Even in Christian life, so many people know too many things. Bible, leave it now. There's power to leave it. He said to them, he gave power to become the sons of God. Power to become. That's what separates the boys from the men. That's where everybody can come, sit down in the same place. Some people leave carrying the mantle. Others leave tomorrow, they are back begging. Talent is not enough. Knowledge is not enough. Sometimes training fails. I'm talking about kingdom. Because the people have not learned the value of impartation and how to get it, or the value of the blessing. Blessing is not just somebody saying a word over you. It's an empowerment that follows you. Go and read what Isaac pronounced on Jacob that made it overthrow Esau that was the firstborn. Adiagabala digastomosh ferestenis. I'm going to stop here, but the word is enough for the wise. Let those that have ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I hope you know when the prophetic speaks. And when we just operate as pastor or as teacher, do you know when God speaks, when his oracles come? He said, my sheep will hear my voice. You know, you didn't finish that Philippians, that chapter 4. Yes. say you communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. Please go back there now fast. Let's get telestuna, man, not because I desire a give, but because I desire fruit that were bound to your account. Verse 18, but I have all, I have abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And he describes giving to a minister with three words. I want you to see how he describes it, because of those who teach against it. He said, number one is a sweet smelling odor before God. It's a sweet smelling perfume. Number two is a sacrifice that is acceptable to God. Number three, it is well pleasing to God. Once that's the person I'm interested in pleasing. Once he's pleased, to hell with you if you don't like it. Who are you? Who cares about who are you? Who are you? Did you die for salvation of anybody? Why do you want to dictate how his church will be run? Humble yourself, my friend. Is a sweet smelling servant to the Lord, is a sacrifice that he accepts, and it is well pleasing to God. There are only five types of giving that God puts this type of qualification on. This is honoring a man of God. He puts this. Helping the needy is another one. Things you do to help finance the kingdom, advance the gospel is another. Let me. Or the offering of your life in sanctification to the Lord to live a holy life is another well, good smelling savour in the eyes of God. But let me conclude with this. The next verse, Paul now said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He didn't say our God. He didn't say the Lord. He said my God. The power that backs up that commission now goes in operation to help you, to change your life, to affect you. The person that called that man now goes in operation. That is how it works. There is a covenant between the Lord and his servant, but there is also a covenant between a minister of the gospel and the people that he is impacting. People that have been blessed by that ministry, that have been impacted by that ministry, have a responsibility to help that man lift his hand so that he can help more people and reach more people. That is how it works. And then everybody that is part of it become partakers of the grace. When we also stand before the judgment seat of Christ, they won't just call him and said, only you did it. They will call all the people who helped to finance it, who helped to pray it into victory, who helped to do it, and share the reward to all of them. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? They are all partakers of the blessing. It's not just the man doing the preaching. They are behind the scene forces that make the whole thing work. Everybody lift up your hands. Come, let me bless three of you. Please stand behind them. Let me bless them. Please stand behind them. He's just stood here. Lord, touch the life of these three young men. Make something great out of their life. Everybody lift up your hands. From today, I decree a new order in your Christian life. An order of victory, no more defeats. In the name of Jesus, we pull you out of the realm of struggling into the realm of victorious Christian life. We pull you out of the realm of defeat into the realm of victory. May the revelation for walking in victory become flesh and blood in your life. May it bring an end to all the struggling and all the wobbling in and out of the flesh, and establish you as a strong pillar in the kingdom of God, that God will find a son that will help to extend deliverance and redemption to many. Lift those hands. May God make you father of many nations. May he make you a deliverer and a savior to many. May he make you a priest with authentic priesthood. A king whose authority boards. Both heaven and hell will recognize when the authority of God flows through your tongue and they will submit. Lift him up. Lift him up. When you're done, please take your crown. Satisfy. Just to see you go. Thank you. I have opened the bag. Let me see if I can assess some. The other side.